Good afternoon, and welcome to The Lunchroom, sponsored by Navita Designs and powered by Reno Construction and Industrial Products. And we are live on Radio Caribbean International for Thursday, November the 7th, day number 311 of 2019. This is our 172nd airing, and I'm your host, Calix George Jr. And in addition to FM radio, you can also follow us online at our website, rcisanusha.com, and also on Facebook Live. Just search for the official page of Radio Caribbean International. And of course, please like and share that with your friends as well. And on today's menu in the lunchroom, horses before hospitals. That's the cry of the opposition St. Lucia Labour Party. And I'll be speaking with Senator Joachim Henry, and he'll be expounding on that position. At the lunchroom, we try to offer you food for thought, and you can join in the serving of that dish of your choice with your calls, questions, and your opinions. But of course, always remember to keep those respectful. And for those listening to the lunchroom for the first time, our lunchroom number here is 4523046. And as well, you can reach us on WhatsApp at 724-0008. That's 724-0008. Now, a few birthday wishes for today. We'll probably try to skip that and get to that a little later. But very quickly, we'll take in our dish of the day. The Daily Dish is brought to you with the kind compliments of our good friends at Tiles Plus.
Plus. Come plus. Get your tiles. We plus. Have tile. Plus. We have tiles for inside and outside. Bathroom, kitchen with the best price. We range from colors to size. So anytime you want tile, come down and get tile. Everybody welcome to Tiles Plus. Come get your tiles with the low cost. Tiles with the style like a crisscross. All kind of tiles, cause we are the boss. Everybody welcome to Tiles Plus. Come get your tiles with the low cost. Tiles with the style like a crisscross. All kind of tiles, cause we are the boss.
We are located Lance Road in Castries, Bossejou, Grosile, and Clark Street in VA4. Telephone number 453-7939. That's telephone number 453-7939.
Tiles Plus.
Serving now, The Daily Dish.
And welcome back to The Lunchroom. I'm your host, Calix George Jr. Now, for our dish of the day today, I think we need to focus on what's going on with land in St. Lucia. In St. Lucia, land is everything. It remains one of our most essential assets, so much so that it is captured in our motto, the land, the people, and the light. And we don't have very much of it. We're only about 152,000 acres or thereabouts, although, of course, many persons are more familiar with the measurement in square miles, 238 square miles. But effectively, with a population of about 180,000 people and growing, each St. Lucian has less than an acre of land to sustain all manner of survival, whether it be ecological services, whether it's economic activities, whether it is personal enjoyment. And make no mistake about it, land is vital. It is real wealth. It is a major differentiator between the haves and the have-nots. And in fact, when we recently recalculated the island's economic activity, gross domestic product, as a result of an activity undertaken by CARTAC, a regional organization, in 2016, guess where that big boost of nearly 16% of the GDP came from? Real estate. And we have seen time after time that we are apparently experiencing an abuse of land by those who are supposed to be protecting that land. And we, of course, have to be very mindful of the land that is owned by the state, by the crown, if you so prefer. Roughly 19% of the island is owned by the state. It might be a little bit more than that by now. And a lot of that land, of course, is in rainforest, rainforest reserves. So in terms of actual land that is owned by the state, developable land, it's not very that much. In fact, the largest portion of it, large blocks of it that you actually do have in existence down in VA4, where there was originally 5,000 acres of land or thereabouts. And that had a history, of course, tied in with World War II, when there was an American base down there and it all got acquired. And another major block of land is down in the Denry area, Denry Farmlands, Denry Farm Co., as well as in the Labrie area, Saltibus area, the Park Estate, River Dory properties, which were at one point, in fact, leased out to Danes, the Danes, for farming. So there's not very much land, developed land, owned by the state. So when you have situations like the Desert Star Holdings project in VA4, nearly 1,000 acres of that 152,000 acres that we're speaking about, a massive chunk of land, vested into state agencies and being handed over, hundreds of acres handed over at effectively what is a pittance, a dollar an acre, it's a giveaway, it really begs the question as to what we're doing with our land in St. Lucia. And as that telling poem recently put out by Fish Alforts goes, auction time, auction time. And let's bet it all away. Let's gamble it all away for the races. Nearly zero risk for the developer, maximum risk for the state. And we've seen it again with respect to the fact that we now have to buy land to replace land that was owned by the state. So we now had to go to buy land in the Miku area for the relocation of the Beausejou livestock farm. And of course, that is at cost, at real price. And we're also now hearing about the situation of land at Cap Estate, of course. Balance of lands at Cap Estate, originally a massive estate of 1,500 acres. The balance of that land, about 370-odd acres or thereabouts. And we're hearing about the use of NIC monies, National Insurance Corporation monies, to loan to a foreign developer. Not by a St. Lucian, not by a Caribbean developer, but a foreign developer from outside the Caribbean, so that that developer can go and purchase our very own land, 300 acres of it, in fact. Very lovely land, coastal land, adjoining the Queen's Chain, nearly 3 kilometers of coastline, in fact. Unique vegetation, where we speak about Cactus Valley, and we have archaeological sites on that property as well. Existing users, places that are pretty famous for St. Lucians, like Donkey Beach, Secret Beach, and that now is being looked at for the development of a golf course resort property. Now, of course, investment is important, but it seems that we are flipping the meaning of foreign direct investment when we are looking at, in fact, pumping in money so that an investor can actually come to purchase land. And the work has begun. In fact, I understand there was a meeting today involving the Development Control Authority and those very developers, of course, coming in, I suppose, to express their intent. I believe there was an attempt by the media to get some kind of statement out of them, but the press was denied that, of course. And now we're also hearing about a new land story, the latest one, government acquiring land from the National Insurance Corporation up in Groseley. And for what purpose? A new embassy, a new Taiwanese embassy and business center in Groseley. And that land in question, for those of you who know Groseley town very well and you're coming up, you've just passed the boatyard and you're just about around the Bank of St. Lucia building, well, directly opposite that, where there's a Wasco pump, that Wasco pump is actually on the property in question. And so that goes right up to the Groseley Fire Station. That plot of land is the land in question, where the suggestion is that now the state is acquiring land for a new Taiwanese embassy. I don't think that the Taiwanese are too interested in it, actually. And if you know the situation with most embassies in St. Lucia right now, they're pretty much all rented properties. And you can go down the list, whether it's the British who are renting it, NIC right now on the waterfront, or the French and the Mexicans and the Venezuelans up in VG. They're also renting. The Moroccans are renting. Pretty much everybody is renting. And the Taiwanese are renting right now as well. But then here we see the government going out to express an intent to acquire land for the construction of a Taiwanese embassy. Very, very, very bizarre. public purpose, if one can find it indeed. And not just an embassy, but also a business center. And I'm pretty certain that embassies are not in the business of owning business centers. They're in the business of diplomatic relations. And even as it is right now, our diplomatic relations with Taiwan are perhaps at best very volatile. We have seen and we've heard of attempts by the government to go out to suitor or to court other diplomatic relations with the People's Republic of China. It's never been denied that two ministers went across to China to see what could be had in terms of diplomatic relations with the People's Republic of China. And it continues to be of great concern, no doubt, to the Taiwanese officials here in St. Lucia and in Taipei. But that's what we're being told, that the government is now going out to acquire land for Taiwan. So that's the dish of the day. And when we come back, we'll be speaking about with Senator Joachim Henry about horses before hospitals.
This has been The Daily Dish.
We have tiles for inside and outside. Bathroom, kitchen with the best price. We range from colors to size. So anytime you want tile, come down and get tile. Everybody welcome to Tiles Plus. Come get your tiles with the low cost. Tiles with the style like a Christmas. All kind of tiles, cause we are the boss. Everybody welcome to Tiles Plus. Come get your tiles with the low cost. Tiles with the style like a crisscross. All kind of tiles, cause we are the boss. We are located Lance Road in Castries, Bossy Jugrosile and Clark Street in J4. Telephone number 453-7939. That's telephone number 453-7939. Tiles Plus.
And welcome back to The Lunchroom. I'm your host, Alex George Jr., and we are now powered by Navita Designs and Reno Construction and Industrial Products. Now, in studio with me today is Senator Joachim Henry. He is no stranger to The Lunchroom. He's been here once before, indeed. And we had a very interesting conversation about a similar topic, indeed, about St. Jude Hospital. And Senator Henry has been a senator for about 3.5 years now, I do believe. Yes, former director of the St. Lucia Social Development Fund. And professionally, he is, in fact, a quantity surveyor and has a fairly good idea of construction and project implementation. Of course, prior to that, work experience with the government of St. Lucia as well. Senator Henry, thank you for joining us here in The Lunchroom.
Thank you very much, Junior. Thank you very much, colleagues. And let me say good afternoon to St. Lucians listening. Here, those who are listening as well in the diaspora, we want to say good afternoon to everybody.
Now, there's been a phrase that has been put out there by the St. Lucia Labour Party, I believe, and it is this whole issue of horses before hospitals.
Yes.
The claim effectively that we are putting more emphasis as a country on the DSH racetrack project than, I believe, the completion of our healthcare facilities, of course, the secondary healthcare facilities in particular.
Absolutely. In fact, that really captures the fact that to highlight the priorities of the government. Following the election of 2016, the government have demonstrated that they are not inclined to continue vital projects that they started and probably try to play politics with it. A project like a hospital is a caring project, a project that demonstrates the heights of care, because it's about a life and death situation when you do not have a hospital. And for the government to have approached the St. Jude Hospital in the manner that they did, certainly we had, St. Lucians have concluded, not just Labour parties, not just the party of the St. Lucia Labour Party, but St. Lucians generally have concluded that the government, they have placed above the caring of people, horses. And we speak of horses because the government have embraced the idea of the DSH project. That certainly was their pronouncement after winning elections, and we see what has come of it. Right now, we have a horse racing track with a stable for horses. We've seen that horses landed into St. Lucian were escorted by the police. And this sort of relationship, I listened to the Minister for Economic Affairs, Guy Joseph, saying that it's a private sector initiative and it's not a government project. Certainly that is not the posture of the government. And whether it's a PPP, if it's not a public-private partnership, certainly the government and the Prime Minister did make pronouncement with regards to the way the project is being financed. And he has said that it will be financed by our funds, the monies of, and you well stated the amount of land that has been given to the whether he's a developer. One need to ask, what is the structure of the relationship?
But the government has said that as of now, there is no CIP money going into the project, that it is really just the money, funds of the developer, which have been going into the construction and completion of the racetrack. What do you say to that?
This is bizarre. This is confusing based on the pronouncement, based on the agreement, the DSH agreement that was in circulation. The government has not refuted that agreement or have not made any other document to explain the nature of the relationship between the government and, of St. Lucia and T.O.R. King. So for now, we must conclude, based on the pronouncement made by the Prime Minister on talk shows, that the government would be at some point in time using the CIP funds to advance monies. And it speaks of a relationship where the government is investing in that DSH in that DSH project. That is what we have as facts, not something that is being guessed about, but these are facts as it relates to this project. More importantly, the lands that have been given away, the land is literally at $1 per square foot. You ask, what is the economic benefit to St. Lucia? You spoke a few minutes ago in terms of the size of St. Lucia. Literally, the Prime Minister has taken from 1,300 St. Lucians, practically, or 1,000 St. Lucians from, for the case of Dominica, 1 acre each, and give them $1 and give it to T.O.R. King for investment. If it's a private initiative on the part of the government of St. Lucia, one asks, what is the relationship with other private businesses in St. Lucia? There are a number of businesses in St. Lucia who are struggling, and the government seem not to care. Why that type of relationship?
But the argument, again, is that the Labour Party seems not to be interested in investment, that the Labour Party is being duplicitous, so much so that, in fact, this project was originally conceptualized under a Labour Party administration, and that had you perhaps won the last election, in fact, there would have been a DSH project materializing in St. Lucia anyway.
Not absolutely. In fact, the Prime Minister indicated that project, the horse racing track, will not bring any sort of funds into St. Lucia. There will not be any income being generated from this project. So the government of St. Lucia is not likely to benefit in terms of revenue generation. So in terms of investment, there are projects that seem more like social projects, recreational projects, sporting initiatives. But when you talk about economic drivers of your country and the economic infrastructure, this project does not fit within any of a government's PIs, you know. So then the discussion being advanced by the UWP certainly is not consistent with any serious plans for St. Lucia and for Viewfort. They have given away the lands, and in fact, they highlighted renderings that were showing a host of high-rise buildings all along the coast. They indicated that they would be building a harbor and a host of that so-called DSH proposal. Out of this, what we've been left with is certainly the horse racing track, the investment made for the roads, you know, to facilitate that project, the foregoing of the national abattoir. You know, these are significant values, and we're not too sure whether this is really from T.O.R. King, whether this is from the coffers of government, and he's not indicated that T.O.R. King built the road. He's not indicating that T.O.R. King will pay for the national abattoir. These are costs being borne by St. Lucians.
But why do you think that, I mean, beyond some groups in VA4 and the St. Lucia Labour Party, that other civil society elements are so quiet on this project? I know we heard very early on a statement from the Catholic Church about it. But I'm thinking, for instance, we're talking about horse racing. Horse racing is about betting. And effectively, it's another form of gambling. But we haven't heard very much from religious leaders. We haven't heard very much from the traditional individuals who maintain the moral authority in St. Lucia regarding this aspect of the project.
Calix, this is not strange. We should not be surprised. At this point in time, quite a few people are quiet about a host of things going on in St. Lucia. Some people are, I do not know, there are times when the St. Lucia Labour Party is in power. Some people do have the gum shield to speak. At this point in time, a number of persons I would expect to echo their voice and add their contribution to what is going on, they are very quiet and they are silent. But notwithstanding, the St. Lucia Labour Party as an opposition have a responsibility to act and to speak on behalf of St. Lucians. And therefore, we are highlighting these issues. The issue of gambling, I mean, that has taken root in our society in a way that is unprecedented. We have a history of gambling. But when you have unemployed youth, when you create a culture of gambling, if you walk through our poor communities, you see what is happening. And then you just oppose this with crime and violence, we see what is taking place. And I would have loved to hear the religious people, you know, speak on it. Some of the gambling taking place right next to churches, you know. So it's not something that the religious people are not seeing. And then you hear of the crime and violence and the robbery taking place within the same society, you know. So you want it to ask what exactly is feeding our young people and this sort of thing. And then you hear the biggest, the most significant development taking place in St. Lucia is a horse racing track for gambling. You know, the very moral fabric of our society in terms of the holistic, you know, development of our people is really non-existent as it stands right now. And we have the challenge to try to, you know, pull back on these sort of things. It's a difficult time that we're living. And that is why on the 8th of December, we are calling our people to view forward for us to have this meeting to even highlight this, you know, because on the 14th of December, it's going to be horse racing right through, you know.
Do you see this project lasting? Do you see it, say, in 5 years' time? Where do you see it? And even more critically, say, for instance, that there is, in fact, a general election within the next 2 years. If the Labour Party were to come in, what would be the position of the Labour Party with this investment now already being, it's already on the ground, and what would happen?
When I glean from our philosophy and our caring nature for St. Lucia, anything that has benefit to St. Lucians, we're not a party to come and just pull everything down. But we will prioritize always. We will move to ensure that the healthcare of our people is center and placed on the front burner. We would move the cause of our senior people and ensure that our children are cared for. You know, we need to get back into the communities where our people are, where our senior people are not being cared for. We had a nice program. The health, we never discontinued the construction of our hospitals. We worked when $10 million was just left, and we continued to put it together. You know, we did not abandon the hospital as it stands right now. After 3 years, 3.5 years, they're now starting to work on it. We have respect for the professionals who advise us, and the St. Lucia Labour Party will always be guided by the professionals. So the people at the hospital, whatever is left with, whatever that they receive from the UWP government in the form of a hospital or caring, we would need to look at it, get our advice from the professionals and move. But caring for the people is our objective.
We've been told, I believe, by some government officials that about 80 million EC dollars has been invested into that project. As a quantity surveyor, looking at that the project that as is right now, do you think that is a reasonable and fair assessment of how much money has really been spent?
In terms of which word?
The racetrack, in terms of the horse racetrack.
No, I do not think that $80 million, my humble opinion. I have looked at a few models of horse racing track, and then based on the type of, I know it's thoroughbreds, and I think they do run long distances. So I know that there was some sort of substructure work being done in terms of the ground, which seemed to be the main aspect of a horse racing track, preparing the ground for it. I do not think earthworks in the main would generate that kind of cost. It doesn't seem correct, in my opinion. I didn't see the importation of any specialized skill set coming into St. Lucia for the horse racing track. It was not like the Millennium Highway, where you had significant cutting and hauling of materials. It doesn't seem like that. So I do not know exactly what constitutes that high cost for the horse race track. I mean, in areas where, in the U.S., where horse racing tracks are being built, based on my own studies and what I've observed, there's a lot more being considered. But this is just mere earthworks in the main and a few, and the probably the most important asset there maybe is the stable. And I do not think that that would amount to that amount of money. But again, the manner in which the government is carrying out the business, it is almost highly secretive. It's not the people's business. A developer is putting up, if you say it's a private developer, most private developers would advertise, and would have gone to the media and explained what they're doing, because they have respect for the people of St. Lucia. Whether you come in to build a hotel, you would pass and you would see the billboard. You would see the name of the contractor, the name of the architect, who are the people working. It is to advertise what is happening so that people are not, So if you see a place fence and you do not know what's happening in there, it is disrespect to the people because it's supposed to be the people's business. And as such, this is how I could describe the intervention by T.R. King in St. Lucia.
Senator Henry, we're going to have to take a break at this time for our weather and, of course, the listeners as well. When we come back, we'll continue that conversation. I want to talk about the other side of it more so, the St. Jude Hospital in particular and where that is at. And, of course, we'll be taking your calls as well. So stay tuned.
Christmas.
Yes, it's that time again. Navita Designs, now housed at Reno Construction and Industrial Products Limited, Vite Boutte, is all stocked and ready to offer you the most unique and elegant Christmas decor for any space. Whether it's white Christmas, red and white peppermint, multicolored candy, or the more contemporary, elegant combinations, we've got it. Don't forget that small accent pieces goes a long way to give that wow effect. And what says Christmas more than the act of giving? So remember to pick up all your gift wrapping essentials and Christmas stockings to bring good cheer. At Navita Designs, we do the creative thing for you. Visit us at our new showroom in Vite Boutte on the John Compton Highway or call us at 450-7246. Navita Designs Christmas Collection, sponsored by Reno Construction and Industrial Products Limited. Let the magic begin.
Fritas, Fritas! Come and get your Fritas here! We're giving them away at Island Style. Tell them that!
So are you mad? What do you mean, Fritas?
Well, madam, for every 100 tiles you buy at our regular price at Island Style,
pretty up my house in time for Christmas. And look how nice those tiles are.
Free tiles, ceramic tiles, porcelain tiles, all tiles, no exception. Visit us at Bella Rosa, Rodney Bay, John Crompton Highway, Castries, and Latoni, View 4. Or call 452-450 or 453 tile.
Attention, attention, attention. Introducing Palmer Automotive Batteries, a leading brand in Asia, now in St. Lucia. Palmer Automotive Batteries are now available at Battery World Plus, Rodney Bay and Massad, Shamari's Garage, Blair's Auto and other leading store outlets. Palmer batteries are of the highest quality and standard with full warranty. Palmer is powered by cutting-edge technology and the leader of the new era. Palmer brand, the best priced batteries on the market. Call us today, 453-7037, 451-2264 or 450-0390.
Caribbean Metals Limited presents Spin to Win promotion. Spend $500 or more and get a chance to spin to win instant prizes. Spend $2,500 or more and get a chance to spin and enter into the grand prize draw. We have not forgotten our account holders. Pay on your account and get the same chance to win. Promotion runs the first week every month until December. The grand prize, $5,000 cash on December 6, 2019. Like, share, and subscribe to our pages on the various social platforms for more details. Terms and conditions apply. This promotion is approved by the National Lotteries Authority. Caribbean Metals, we've got you covered. Guaranteed.
Get 5 weeks free when you buy home or contents insurance from Beacon. Our insurance is very affordable, and we've got online and mobile services for your convenience. Call us at 458-5860 or log on to beacon.co.tt for a quote today.
This is Radio Caribbean International. It's now time for the weather news.
Now time for the latest weather report as of 12 noon today. It's the 7th of November, 2019, and our forecast at this hour is Vigil Saltibus. The present weather at Huronora, cloudy and hazy, and at George Charles, it's partly cloudy and hazy. Present temperature at Huronora, 31 degrees Celsius or 88 degrees Fahrenheit. And last night's minimum temperature at Huronora was 28 degrees Celsius or 82 degrees Fahrenheit. The wind at Huronora is blowing from the east at 23 miles per hour or 37 kilometers. And after a 24-hour period ended at 8 a.m., 1.2 millimeters of rainfall was recorded at Huronora, and at George Charles, 1.3 millimeters was recorded. The total rainfall for the month of November thus far, 34.7 millimeters at Huronora, and at George Charles, 20.3 millimeters. Sun will set today, 26 minutes before 6 at rise in the morning and a minute after 6. Now for the forecast for St. Lucia, valid for the next 24 hours. The winds blowing between the east, northeast and the east near 24 miles per hour or 39 kilometers with occasional gust. And the weather, fair, hazy and breezy, becoming cloudy at times with a few showers. A recap of the forecast for St. Lucia valid for the next 24 hours. The winds blowing between the east, northeast and the east near 24 miles per hour or 39 kilometers with occasional gust. And the weather, fair, hazy and breezy, becoming cloudy at times with a few showers. The marine forecast foresees in a 25-mile or 40-kilometer radius from St. Lucia. Presently, we are experiencing high tide at the Castries Harbour. Low tide will be at 24 before 7 tonight. And for the VF4 Bay, the high tide will be at 5 minutes before 2 this afternoon and the low tide at 3 minutes after 8 tonight. The seas are locally rough. The waves and northeasterly swells are 6 to 8 feet, the same as 1.8 to 2.4 meters in open waters. Small craft operators and sea baiters are advised to exercise caution due to brisk winds and rough seas. So please be guided accordingly. For the Lesser Antilles, it's partly cloudy and hazy, occasionally becoming cloudy with a few showers. And the tropical weather outlook, a tropical wave located a few hundred miles to the east of the Lesser Antilles is moving westward at 20 miles per hour or 31 kilometers. This wave is expected to produce an increase in cloudiness, showers, and a chance of thunderstorms across the Windward Islands from late Friday into the weekend. And another tropical wave over the eastern tropical Atlantic is moving westward near 15 miles per hour or 24 kilometers. As far as tropical cyclone formation, not expecting any of those over the tropical Atlantic during the next 5 days, and that's great news. But a recap of the tropical weather outlook. A tropical wave, which is located a few hundred miles to the east of the Lesser Antilles, is moving westward at 20 miles per hour or 31 kilometers. And this wave is expected to produce an increase in cloudiness, showers, and a chance of thunderstorms across the Windward Islands from late Friday and into the weekend. So please be guided. And another tropical wave is located over the eastern tropical Atlantic. It is moving westward at 15 miles per hour or 24 kilometers. That is the official weather report at this hour. Join us again in the morning at around 6:30. Our next official report from the Met Service is due on this station. Vigil, thank you very much for providing the update at this hour. The weather was made possible by Island Style Thailand Bath, Battery World Plus, Caribbean Metals and Beacon Insurance.
This has been RCI's Weather News. For more information, call the Weather Hotline at 454-3452. RCI 101 number 1.
Free tires, free tires. Come and get your free tires here. He giving them away at Island Style, Thailand Bat.
So are you mad? What do you mean free tires?
Well, madam, for every 100 tires you buy at our regular price at Island Style,
we'll give you up my house in time for Christmas. And look how nice those tiles are.
Free tiles, ceramic tiles, porcelain tiles, all tiles, no exception.
Visit us at Bella Rosa, Rodney Bay, John Crompton Highway, Castries, and Latoni, View 4. Or call 452-450 or 453. Tile.
Attention, attention, attention. Introducing Palmer Automotive Batteries, a leading brand in Asia, now in St. Lucia. Palmer Automotive Batteries are now available at Battery World Plus, Rodney Bay and Massad, Shimari's Garage, Blair's Auto and other leading store outlets. Palmer batteries are of the highest quality and standard with full warranty. Palmer is powered by cutting-edge technology and the leader of the new era. Palmer brand, the best priced batteries on the market. Call us today, 453-7037, 451-2264 or 450-0390.
Caribbean Metals Limited presents Spin to Win Promotion. Spend $500 or more and get a chance to spin to win instant prizes. Spend $2,500 or more and get a chance to spin and enter into the grand prize draw. We have not forgotten our account holders. Pay on your account and get the same chance to win. Promotion runs the first week every month until December. The grand prize, $5,000 cash on December 6, 2019. Like, share, and subscribe to our pages on the various social platforms for more details. Terms and conditions apply. This promotion is approved by the National Lotteries Authority. Caribbean Metals, we've got you covered. Guaranteed.
Get 5 weeks free when you buy home or contents insurance from Beacon. Our insurance is very affordable, and we've got online and mobile services for your convenience. Call us at 458-5860 or log on to beacon.co.tt for a quote today.
And welcome back to the Lunchroom, and we're now sponsored by Navita Designs, powered by Rainier Construction and Industrial Products. I'm your host, Calix George Jr. In studio with me is Senator Joachim Henry, and he is a member of the St. Lucia Labour Party, formerly director of the St. Lucia Social Development Fund. Mr. Henry, now the whole issue, of course, is about the hospitals or the lack of emphasis thereon. But the suggestion, of course, by the government right now, is about the hospitals or the lack of emphasis thereon. But the suggestion, of course, by the government, work has recommenced at the St. Jude Hospital site. I believe we've seen pictures of the Prime Minister down there. We're told that there's 300 ton steel that is being foundation works are being done. What's your response to that? Shouldn't the Labour Party now be happy that work has now recommenced?
Of course, the Labour Party is happy that work has recommenced. But more importantly, the hospital should have been finished by now. If you look at the stance of the United Workers Party upon winning election within days, Guy Joseph rushed to the site, to the private premises in Grand Riviere, and commissioned a report of costing approximately $1 million that indicated that the windows were too small, corridors, matters that are very trivial. We stop a project for 3.5 years, a hospital, and I have yet to see formally the report that cost us $1 million. And there were funds left. Of course, you could have embarked on all your
investigations. Is there anything that the Labour Party could do to force the government to release that report, to make it, whether it's a document of the House, or is it possible to go to court to seek action on that? Is anything possible, colleagues, in that regard?
Colleagues, there are so many things that the St. Lucia Labour Party have to address and have to attend to. I think we are overwhelmed with the sort of indiscretion and errors and lack of caring the UWP certainly have demonstrated. But if there's anything we can do, I certainly think the people responsible would handle it. But I have asked a question in the parliament as it relates to this report, and it was not answered by the UWP government some time ago in the previous parliament, maybe I think a year ago. However, the important thing is, the government, upon taking the reins of power, showed as if they were concerned. Guy commissioned a report. That report said, they said windows were too small. Approximately more than 50% of the works were in place.
There was also a suggestion that there may have been malfeasance, that there may have been misappropriation of funds. And I believe we were promised or told that there was going to be another forensic investigation.
Nothing.
Where is that at?
You could carry out any amount of investigation, your forensic, you know, investigation and accounts, and do your. But you should not stop the construction of the hospital. There's no reason for stopping the construction of the hospital. Nothing prevents. All your investigation could go on, but we should continue the construction of the hospital because it's about. It's a matter of life and death. 3.5 years has passed. The horse racing track, you know, the 13th of December, wouldn't it have been better that on the 13th of December we are reopening the doors of the hospital, listening to the weather forecast in terms of, you know, waves. Look at how vulnerable the people are in the stadium. You know, what kind of government? And I'm not talking, and this is why I always try to make the separation between the party and the government. Once you've won the election, you move into governance mode. And government is not about party politics. It's about caring and serving the people of St. Lucia. When you're trying to win an election and you're in your mind games, you know, yes. But now that you've won, it's about the heart, caring. The government have no need for stopping the construction of the hospital. And there are a number of persons who have died. I have documented it, that persons may have died as a result of not having the complete hospital. And it is on the hands of the UWP government. And I'm not saying that when the Labour Party were in power, you know, everything was hunky-dory. But we proceeded with the construction of the hospital, you know. And I think they had every reason, if they are government of the heart, if they are governing with a caring motive, to continue the construction of the hospital, a hospital, not even a school, a hospital, you know. And I do not understand how do you describe a country in a civilized world without a hospital, you know. And therefore they have placed horses over and above the hospital. One reason is because there was no conceptualized plan about a horse racing track. The government embarked on it, searching for an investor, looking for the resources, getting the land to do a horse racing track, to have horse racing on the 13th of December, but a hospital that was already in progress.
The government is now, I think, about 41 months into its term, about 19 months to go. Do you believe that they're going to be able to complete the St. Jude Hospital within that amount of time?
It's possible. It's possible that they can. Again, everything, it's about the monies and how you deploy the resources.
We've told that there's going to be a new loan, I believe, from the Taiwanese government. You're in the Senate. Has anything come in terms of a resolution for approval for that purpose?
I have seen a number of resolutions come before Parliament. I have not seen for St. Jude Hospital. And the government borrowing is out of this world. In fact, some of the most confusing things that they have done is the manner in which they have represented borrowings. Some of it in the motion has not been cleared. However, it is possible to complete the hospital. You deploy resources, manpower, you could complete a hospital. You can remove the people from that stadium. God forbid, but we are in the hurricane period. And following my own experience in Dominica, the buildings that the roofs were washed away, our people today at St. Jude Hospital, they are vulnerable. And a caring government, not a party, a government, who have been given the power to see over the lives of people. I cannot understand why would you play politics with a hospital? That is really something we as St. Lucians must never, ever tolerate.
We have about 10 minutes to go on the program. So, of course, our lines are now open. If you'd like to call in and ask Senator Henry any questions about what we're speaking about today, you can feel free to do so. The number is 452-3046. That is 452-3046. And there's also our WhatsApp platform. And that is 724-0008. So, the situation with, in fact, we already have a call coming. Let's just take that call right away. Good afternoon and welcome to the lunchroom. What's on your plate today?
Mr. George.
Go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon to your guest.
Could you speak up a little bit, please? We're not hearing you very clearly.
I'm speaking. Are you hearing me loud and clear now?
Much better.
Okay. Mr. George, one, we have it wrong. The UWP have, the UWP administration, Alan Krasny / Guy Joseph, have not recommenced work on St. George. Recommencing work on St. George simply tells you, you go back to the existing site and complete the work that was already started by civil. So that is not commencing work on St. George. Okay?
Well, the argument, caller, is that it's on the same site. It's on the same property as St. Jude Hospital, that they're going to be building a new wing to the hospital, but to effectively to replace the existing east the and surgical wings.
And what the question is, why are they not completing the work on the other, on the existing hospital?
If that's the case, that is even more serious, because I think it's about games. There's no need for us.
Now, let me say another thing before I leave on the line, because I'm on my cell phone. The UWP keeps saying that the Labour Party would have constructed and follow up with the DSA project. I could remember clearly, like daylight, both the former Prime Minister and Ernest Hille said that the DSA project was shelved. Because Joachim, in negotiations, he was a very aggressive negotiator. He wanted everything, and they shared the project. And that is why, and they just said that, I heard it from another guy, Russell Lake, said that Winston Scrimm said that the Labour Party, he cannot get through, and he brought the proposal to somebody else. So that was self. There's nothing saying that the Labour Party would continue BSA. And we need to get that clear.
I remember there was a statement made by the Prime Minister, the current Prime Minister, where he said that the developers had gone to Barbados, in fact, to see whether, in fact, they could get the project done there. And then Sir Charles Williams, the owner of CO Williams, was the one who, in fact, brought the developers back to St. Lucia to meet with the current Prime Minister. I remember that statement actually was made.
Barbados have a horse racing track, though.
Well, of course, yeah. A very long-standing garrison.
Yes, so the garrison. So
with a long history of horse racing.
So T.O. Akin was going to build another horse racing track in Barbados at a time when Barbados is going through their difficult...
Well, I'm not sure as to the details as to exactly what it was, but then they were, I suppose, maybe looking for some kind of partnership or whatnot.
But for me, what is important is the point made with regards to the hospital. We had every reason to continue, and we can, whatever defects, and I'm not too sure personally that as stipulated by Guy Joseph about windows too small and corridors, these things in construction are too easy to remedy or to cure for us to go and construct a new building altogether. But this is mischief.
Why is it so easy for decisions to be taken about structures like this without any sort of public knowledge as to exactly what the details are? I mean, we've seen a few well-crafted videos about St. Jude Hospital trying to tell the untold story. But beyond that, we really, and a few statements largely by politicians, but why is it that it's so difficult to be able to get what the reports are, what is being stated, whether there's a master plan, what is the easiest completion path?
Because the Prime Minister, Alan Chastney, and Guy Joseph, they are not governing this country. It is party politics. When you are serving people, it is their business. People ought to know. They do not have a choice in this. The people are our bosses when you are in power, when you are serving them. And we need to account to them. If we are building a new wing, if you need to justify why we are taking another route. And it is because it is the people's money. I have difficulty, even when I was at the SSDF, while we serve poor people, I always have to remind them that provision has been made for them to receive the housing assistance. Provision has been made to receive school books. It is their resources. It is not mine.
We have another call coming in at this time. Let's take it. Good afternoon and welcome to the lunchroom. What's on your plate today?
Hi, Kali. Good afternoon. Henry, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
You know, I'm listening to Henry and you, Kali, this afternoon there. And I've concluded one thing, right, that I feel in St. Lucia, we have no recourse except at the ballot box when governments behave irresponsible, when they use taxpayers' monies, and all the recourse we have is to change government. Because when one says to me, there is no way you can cause reports that taxpayers paid for, millions of dollars that taxpayers paid for reports and things like that, and we cannot even in the House or the court, right, cause the government to account and to report to the people, something is wrong in the country.
And this is after the reports themselves were leaked, caller, as well.
Yeah,
so I think there was even an attempt to make it a document of the House.
Yeah, if taxpayers pay for something, right, the taxpayers have a right to know. And everything I'm hearing and everything I've been seeing over the last 3 years indicates to me that the only recourse that solutions have, not even through the courts, because sometimes it takes more than an election cycle before something could be heard in the court.
Right.
So I'm saying at the end of the day, anybody could enter government now, spend your 5 years, do as you please, and hope to be out next term or remain. And you're answerable to no one. And something is frightening about this situation in St. Lucia.
That is dangerous, caller. It is. I'm agreeing. It seemed that way, and we cannot allow that to continue. I mean, you cannot spend $1 million immediately after approximately $1 million to have a report on St. Jude, and nobody so far has seen it.
But that is our reality, Henry.
You know, and then you embark on constructing a new wing. And then everybody, those persons who believe that they are supporter of the UWP party or those who are receiving contracts want to justify and say, it's okay, even if you're a UWP and you, it's your party, if it's wrong, it's wrong. And I mean,
do you have any idea as to who is the consultant on the project now or who's in the designs for the St. Jude Hospital project?
Not at all. If it is a new wing, then there was a new then somebody would have designed it, and and God knows how much, you know.
Thank you very much, caller.
Yes, God knows how much the government is being charged for the new design, and the new consultancy arrangement, and how do you place that new wing when there are existing buildings? What are the relationship? You would need a hospital architect, you know, to be involved. You know, and when you think of it, it's like somebody couldn't be bothered. So upon they're being removed from office, then they're literally telling the Labour Party, the next government, see how you can resolve it. But this is the people's business. And successive government, and this is what the Labour Party did. We came in, we met, the former Prime Minister met a hospital under construction. He continued.
We have a call coming in. Good afternoon and welcome to the lunchroom. What's on your plate today?
Hi, Andrew. A nice meal one.
A nice something.
Fish and fish.
Ah, okay.
Yes, man.
Don't make us jealous, caller. Go right ahead.
Yeah. You know, Joachim, welcome.
Thank you.
You know, the last caller asked about if it's only for the ballot box to change government. From my limited history, only once a government was changed in San Jose, and that is when the SNAC government gave up power. And Honorable Peter Josie, the member for Beaufort South, as you put it up, said, had he been there at that meeting, that would never have happened. Even when the great George Odlam and the Peter Josie were demonstrating the 70s, the John Compton government did not fall. It went to the 5 years, etc. So we have to remember that history. And before that, once, only once in a lifetime, twice in our lifetime, was in 1791, when Victor Hughes talked about freedom, justice, etc., liberty, that the slaves and the free men in St. Lucia took over power from the French, and they fought the British for 18 months. You know, I don't know if you know about the Maroon,
between 1795 and 96.
But that is our history. And especially this thing about people who have who give us false history of what happened to about Plywood City, right? You know, and there are those who know it, you know.
Well, caller, you have an open invitation to come and tell us about your experiences with Plywood City, if you don't mind. But we're going to have to take another call very quickly.
I would prefer if it finish within 5 years and for election time to make our points. Okay. All right, goodbye.
Okay, thank you very much, caller. Well, I thought we had another call coming in, but we're almost out of time. In any case, in fact, we're over time.
But if you want to say a few words. Yes, certainly, the schools. I mean, see what is happening at this point in time. So many schools are closing. You would believe it's summertime. And the government has indicated that during the time of the Labour Party, they only put in $1 million for maintenance. Now they're putting in monies. But you know, after you build a brand new building as a quantity surveyor, for 10 years you may not have anything to maintain. But as the building gets older, especially if you have buildings, the maintenance cost, the life cycle, exponentially the cost
goes up.
And you could, here we are today, the government, and this is why I think politicians, especially UWP politicians, should align their campaign with reality and truth.
Let's try to squeeze in a few callers, please. Go ahead. Good afternoon and welcome to the lunchroom. What's on your plate today?
Yeah, I heard somebody ask a question. Who's the consultant on the new wing of St. Jude?
Yes.
Well, it's the same person who did the audit.
Okay, so it's the same. The consultant of the audit is the design consultant for the project.
That's correct.
Thanks very much, caller. Let's try to take another call. Good afternoon and welcome to the lunchroom. What's on your plate today?
Yes, good afternoon, my brother. And good
afternoon. Could you lower the radio that you're listening to, please?
Yes, exactly what I'm doing. I'm listening to you on my mobile.
Okay.
Yeah. Good afternoon, George and gentlemen.
Senator Henry.
Yeah, Mr. Senator Henry. Let me say something. The problem we are facing in this country is a question of nobody give a damn, and even the young people in this country, and that is where I'm very, very, very afraid, is the lack of concern about St. Lucia with regard to the young people. We can recall when Guy Joseph came to governance this time around, he made a statement. He said that St. Jude needed about 7 more months to finish.
6 months, actually. I think he promised six months.
To be completed. Now, what I want to ask Mr. Joseph, with respect to the windows, I think that hospital is completely air-conditioned. Okay? People don't pass through windows. As a matter of fact, the smaller the window, the safer it is in a time of a storm. I think St. Jude was being built alongside international standard. So what is happening there at St. Jude's today, or to St. Lucia today, is because we St. Lucians have literally lost our purpose. We have lost our vision. We have lost our way. And we have just given up on everything, which we have not even tried. We have not even put an effort to it, but we have given up. Because it seems to me it's only in 5 years that St. Lucians have a means of going and making changes. And politicians are given the green light to plunder this country how they want, when they want, and nothing happens to them. And that's a very sad thing, because I thought that used to happen in sub-Saharan Africa, but I watching the British politics going there now, even Trump with the impeachment, and you see a media that could literally make changes to a country.
It's a very different world now, certainly, Colin. I think you're hitting some very important chords.
It's sad. Amen. It is very sad for us. It is very sad.
Amen.
And I believe the term third world fits us very well. You know, sad to know everybody has a mobile phone in their hand. We know everything happening overseas, but we allow every garbage, every wrong thing to happen to Fair Helen. We sit a few fellas, plunder the country resources. There is no need for that peace they are putting on St. Jude's. There's no need.
Absolutely not.
St. Jude's was extended by almost 100%.
Yeah. We have acres of hospital there.
You pass there and see it. These guys, I don't know, I want to say this, and a new regime, a Labour Party government, I don't want them to do like they've been doing, sweeping the former corruption under the desk. We need to take this thing serious. These guys who have plundered our resources, they have to be accountable to it. I don't know if the government, if the Labour Party government will have to hire some forensic, some people from foreign. These guys have to take jail. This thing cannot continue. You are employed. You are responsible to your taxpayers. How is it they could spend almost $100 million on a horse race? We have no... And the Prime Minister has the audacity to say, in fact, it will be losing money.
Well, we have to end it there, caller. Thank you very much for your points.
Thank you very much, caller. And you, what you've said there is absolutely correct. I would leave the issue with the maintenance of school, but the issue of horses over hospitals, I think if it is correct that the extension to St. Jude is being carried out by the person who did the report on St. Jude, is madness. I think St. Lucians would need to wake up. You know, you cannot call somebody to do an investigation on a project to report to you and ask the person in the report to tell me what must I do to cure when you find a problem and tell me the cost of curing the problem. There's conflict of interest. So if you're building a home, you hire a contractor and you invite me as a quantity surveyor to assess the work the contractor did because you're unhappy and tell me how much it will cost to fix it because you're going to give me the job to fix it, what am I going to tell you?
Judge, jury, and executioner. One last call, and I think we're going to have to call it there. Good afternoon, and welcome to the lunchroom. What's on your plate today? Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hi, caller. Please make it brief, because we don't have very much time.
I don't think you expect Mr. Joseph to change. You know, you have to look at his attitude and realize even you can talk from heart to doom that's his attitude. Even like some Steven Seagal, you know, nobody can tell him anything. So I don't see it. I mean, all people have to do is just wait and see how things are going, because you can talk from now till doomsday, it'll just be the same.
So you think that's the approach, caller, wait and see?
Fiddle
while Rome burns?
But no, you know where the results will come out.
Guy must not change, the people must change. As a people that allow politicians to do whatever they want with us.
I mean, yes, I understand we must change, but we have to look at the two of them attitude. You have to let them burn themselves out, because at the end of the day, they're messing up and people will see it. Because right now you have people supporting them. Everything that they do is okay. Even in the media, you have people in the media to cover them. So you make them look good, even if you try and speak out. When you have people in the media covering them, making them look good, what is going to happen? They're already there.
Thank you very much, caller. We're going to have to end Labour Party be bringing that kind of change. I mean, we're hearing about issues of justice. We're hearing about issues of changing the system, absolutely, which seems to be broken. How is that going to be actually done?
With listening to our political leader, the Honourable Philip J. Pierre, I have no doubt that it's going to be a different day. Not a day described with glitters and fake. But we've campaign with truths. We're going to campaign with what is correct, because we're going to govern in truth and honesty to the people. You know, we're not going to come with flashing mirrors, fight to stay alive, and say we're going to change St. Lucia and give people high-rise buildings and this sort of thing. And then when you win the election, you have to be ducking and starting to lie to cover your lies and this sort of thing. When you align your campaign with reality and truth, you will govern objectively.
Will we finally get to see constitutional reform in St. Lucia?
Certainly. The issues like constitution reform, these things are on the table. We have to take it seriously. We need to revisit a number of government instruments that guide. We have to strengthen the Procurement Act. Direct purchases cannot become the order of the day. You know, where you use one contractor to do everything in St. Lucia, one consultant to do everything in St. Lucia, but then you have almost 1,500 engineers. You have enlisted pretty close to 50 contractors. You know, we cannot operate this way. St. Lucia is a small island state with 180,000 people. There's room for us to coexist. There's room for us to do things together. We must put things in place for us to do that.
Senator Joachim Henry, we're going to have to end it there at this point in time because we're at 10 after 2. Thank you very much for being
my guest today
at the Lunchroom, of course, powered by, well, Navita Designs, powered by Reno Construction Industrial Products. Thank you very much to listeners out there as well. We hope that you can join us tomorrow for another interesting program here at the Lunchroom. I'm your host, Alex George Jr., saying goodbye.